single key clocks. I'ma stack bricks up, build what I want to make. Yeah, I'ma do it my way.
Yo, it's the Sandwich Generation with my girl Mitch. Relationships, kids, Asian parents, work, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'ma do it my way.
The Sandwich Generation. Now, here's Mitch.
What the hell? What the helly? What the helly on? It's Mitch. And welcome back to the Sandwich Generation. Just so you know, that is spelled DASANDWICHGENRATION. I need a rap for that. You know what I'm saying? I need a rap for that. Sometimes in life, you just need a rap for that. Okay, so before we get started today, remember you can always find more stories and pictures and updates and ways to connect with us at thesandwichgeneration.com. You can email me at thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com. I want to know what's up with you, your ideas, your questions. Let me know if you want to call me on the show and even maybe be on here. Be over up in here with us. Be up in here with us. You know, and yes, there is an us. I wish I could do this by myself, but hey, we all need a little support. Anyways, I love hearing from you. So today's episode is all about traditions, borrowed, old, new, renewed. So we're going to start with the top bun in this sandwich, which is the babies, the little ones, right? The next generation of tradition makers, whether they know it or not. So, you know, kids don't always know what a tradition is. It's kind of an abstract concept to them. And if you're lucky, if you're blessed enough, all your kids know is this is what my family did, right? It's the love that they remember. And pivoting from last week with the shenanigans that people be getting into sometimes, or our last episode, rather, you know, that's what we want to leave them with. You know, the only mess that should be made is at the end of a wonderful meal, not with your drama and your shenanigans. So most children start to understand the very concept of traditions maybe between the ages of like 5 or 8. That's when patterns really start to be a big deal, right? They really start to matter to them. They start thinking, oh, they start gearing up, you know, they start gearing up. Like, you know, maybe we should talk about gearing up, you know, in the next segment. You know, this is what we do, right? We're going to go to grandma's house. It's around the time that we go to mama's house, right? We do this every year. We make cookies with my grandmama. In December, we go see the lights on the week of Christmas. So even before they understand the word tradition, they can still feel it, right? They know about the repetition. They can feel the closeness of relatives gathering closely around them. And you got to admit, that's a good feeling, right? They feel the warmth and the love. And like I said, if you're doing it right, that's what they should be feeling. Not your stuff. Okay? Not your shit. Make sure that they feel the things that matter. And that are going to build them into the productive adults that we want them to be. You know, sometimes kids themselves create new traditions without meaning to. In my family, you know, having gone through divorce and everything, just kind of things fell together in such a way that I do Christmas breakfast with me and mine, right? And it's beautiful. I can have all the grown kids there. You know, this is my last year of my youngest one being in that mix, which means, you know, y'all really gonna have to step it up because from here on out, I have to be a facilitator. I'll still be able to hold down the elder side of things, but I need your stories to carry this Sandwich Generation show podcast on. But anyways, you know, like that kind of created itself due to the circumstances. And then I started getting real selfish with it, right? Because I get them before anybody else do. Before they go see they daddy or they other stepmama or whoever, they other family, you know, for my stepkids and for my kids, you know, their family of origin, they come to see me first. So sometimes the tradition begins out of circumstance. Sometimes it might start because of a child's personality, you know, their special needs or just their interests. So, you know, like, let's say, you know, maybe a child with sensory needs changes the whole entire holiday flow, right? You know, maybe your holiday gatherings used to be really loud and chaotic with folk acting a fool all over the place. And, you know, big family, big rooms, music blasting, everybody talking over each other. But then when this particular child, and you know the one, everybody got one in the family that just came to shake shit up. Nah, y'all ain't doing shit the way that you used to doing it. We gonna do this my way, okay? Maybe it's because they have sensory sensitivity and they don't like wearing the fancy clothes. And then, golly, I'm gonna have to remember this for the next show, but there's a word for this. There's a word for this when you don't like your food touching. Maybe they don't like, you know, their stuffing touching their macaroni and cheese, touching their ham, and you got to make them a different plate a different way, right? So maybe they changed the whole flow of what be happening, you know, just because of who they are. Now, going back to my situation, I realized how wonderful that is. I don't have all the hoopla to deal with on Christmas Day. I get to fully engage with my children and fully focus on them. They get to come and relax before all that shit start happening, right? They save the drama for their stepmama or their daddy or their family of origin or whatever. Obviously, there's not a lot going on with my family of origin, which also kind of, I'm learning that certain situations get kind of pushed out of certain lives. And I think my life is one of those lives because I've been doing a lot of reflection, which, you know, note to self again, that might be a good show for the new year. OK, so, you know, this kid comes along in your family and it's like, oh, we're going to have to do our gift exchange earlier in the day because he's narcoleptic and he might fall asleep. Right. Maybe we have to find a quiet way of celebrating. And then sometimes it's gifts in disguise. Like maybe we have to limit the crowd, but you don't want to be around them damn people. No way. Come on. You don't want them people in your fucking house. No way. Come on. You just, can you just please tell the truth? You don't even want to see them fools. No way. Yeah. I almost said another word, but I ain't going to say that. I ain't doing that. You know what I mean though? You don't want to see them ninjas. You don't want to see them. So, you know, sometimes you got to dim the lights. You know, not Teddy Pendergrass style. Turn off the lights. Not like that. Not like that. You just want to dim them and skip the loud music. You know what I'm saying? And then before you know it, that's the new normal of the family, right? And you learn something about yourself and your family and your kids that you never even thought about before. A gentler, more intentional holiday starts developing because of that one. Like I said, every family has one. You know, but that child didn't just join the holiday festivities. They reshaped them. And that, my friends, that is the true beauty of children. They don't ask. They just are. And the family should adjust because a new tradition is born. Just like in some religious cultures, a new child is born. Maybe it's just mirroring that. You know, when your new child is born, they make you celebrate the birth of another new child in a whole nother way. So maybe your child's creative spark becomes a permanent ritual for your family. Like maybe they insist on making a certain ornament every single year, or it's one song that everybody sings and you start all of the festivities with that one song. You know, and maybe it might be something like, and this one is so real, you know, they give gifts handmade with all their heart. Because let's stop and think about it. They ain't got no money. What are they supposed to do for you? You running up your credit card bills and they can't reciprocate. That is a feeling that they're left with. They want to reciprocate. So, you know, I know when my youngest was in second grade, his school had one of those little Santa shops where the kids could, you know, buy gifts for their family. And he used his own little stash of his little baby money, you know, his own money. And he bought me this tiny little golden ring, and it was so touching. And sometimes I like channel energy through that ring. You know what I'm saying? I wear it at certain times. Not because of the price, but let me tell you, it's one of them rings that does not stain my finger. It didn't do the whole discoloration, oxidization thing on me. So it was still quality. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, he didn't spend a lot on it, but I still have that ring because of the heart of a tiny little boy who wanted to give his mama something meaningful. They ain't got no jobs, you know, so they give in their imagination. They make it with their hands and they send it directly from their heart to yours. And so, you know, they can't swipe a card like you can or buy big box gifts. And honestly, you know, they shouldn't have to, you know. So when your little ones, like your under six ones, they give you some drawings and some handmade crafts from school, and they tell you to lock up in your room and, you know, don't come out until I tell you because I'm making something for you. You know, maybe when they're about, you know, 7 and 10, they might make you some coupons. Sometimes at school they have them make some coupons to give, you know, mom a day off. You know, around maybe 11 to 14, they start budgeting, you know, for what they want to do for you. But you know what? You need to reciprocate by saying thank you. Don't think about what you wrapped up for them. Think about a heartfelt thank you for what they did. Show joy. Remember what they gave. And then, you know, let it extend into the new year. If it has purposefulness and usefulness, then use it. Let them see you using it. So then that way, if your child is struggling with gratitude, which some of them do, come on, some of them do, especially if they get overwhelmed, then we can gently, you know, guide them. And we have to think about how they interpret these traditions too. Like, they have opinions and they're entitled to them. So I always say, you're not going to like everything in life, but it's how you express it. You know, you have to be respectful in how you express that to me. So, you know, instead of, do we gotta go to auntie's house, maybe model it for them. You know, can we plan something away from auntie's house this year? Or, I don't like that. I don't want to eat that. Ooh, that's nasty. Maybe model it for them with a vocabulary that says, I'd like to try something else. You know, that's okay. You know, why do we do this every day? Can we please open one present early? Whatever the questions are, you be creative and try to do a workaround, you know. And, you know, some of these traditions, they might fade. Some of them might grow. And then sometimes we discover like a simple compromise. If your child has social anxiety, they might not want the big group photos. And you might find you didn't want to do that shit no way. You didn't want to take a family photo big anyway. You just wanted one with you and your kids. Maybe instead of a long dinner, there's a holiday activity basket, you know? Let your kids help you kind of determine what's next. So in our next segment, we're going to bring it all together because kids help us to reshape these traditions without even trying. But we end up carrying the emotional load of making all this shit happen, right? Our elders hold the roots, the meaning, and the history, and that gets to be a lot on us as well. But somewhere in the middle of all of that, we do tend to find the real holiday magic. So, you know, before we move on, remember to email us. Remember to contact us. We would love to hear from you. And we'll be back. Mm-hmm.
Let's go. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive and there's nothing that makes me happy. Oh.
And we all got dreams, we all want things, but what you gonna do for it? How you gonna move for it? What you gonna be?
Yo, yeah, my name is Mitch, and if you're joining us or if you're rolling in from segment one, we just talked about the kids and the teens navigating the holiday season, especially around expectations from all of us, pressures from all of us, and that myth that we create of the magical perfection, right? And so I had mentioned something about gearing up for us in the middle, and for our elders, it's not always a gearing up of a good thing, right? Sometimes we're remembering a relative that passed away during the holiday season, or you know, if you're married, it could be that one argument or that one time that fool cheated. I don't know. But sometimes we find ourselves gearing up for the wrong thing. The holidays brings a lot. So in this segment, we're going to talk about the meat, the layer of the sandwich where so many of us live, where we're holding life together for everybody else. And we forget that we are a whole human being in the processed, right? Did I say processed? Anyway, the process. You know, rest isn't a reward. It's a requirement. And that's because, like I said, when you're navigating all of these emotional energies, it might be your elder that's remembering somebody that passed. And we think that the kids don't, you know, gear up for the holidays with death in that way. But one of your kids might be remembering, you know, that grandma died just before Christmas. So it is very important that you observe that. You know, if you need a little bit of counseling, you might want to, you know, put that appointment in early and make sure that you tend to your own mind first. Just like they say on them airplanes, you can't breathe if you can't help nobody else breathe if you can't breathe. So you got to what? Put that mask on yourself first, right? There's no way that you can pour into two generations if your own cup is cracked. So if those feelings come up of, you know, just a little bit of feeling down, you know, honor that and tend to it. Make time for it. Make space for it. Because it's important. Death, whether we like it or not, is a part of life. And so is navigating the tough feelings and the tough emotions of this holiday season. So, you know, the holidays pull us in the middle in every direction imaginable, right? You got to figure out whose house is at this year. That's usually the first question. So if you're leaving, you got to plan travel. And if you leave your elder, they going to feel some type of way about that. And, you know, you also have to, you know, think about your kids. There's a lot involved with traveling with kids. You have to manage your kids' schedules. You know, again, your elders, if you're leaving them in a facility, they're not going to like that. But you do need to make sure you communicate with the facility if you have a schedule that you go visit them on, so that nobody is dismayed about what's happening. And then if it's at your house, you got to think about cooking and budgeting. You got to work in between all of this. And then there's a certain face we have to put on for hosting now, isn't there? You know, and then you still got to have your own holiday cheer. So in thinking about this, sometimes the holiday cheer is in what you wear, right? Sometimes you wear something that just lifts up your spirits. But, you know, during this season, the cracks, they definitely show up very, very fast. You might find yourself dealing with fatigue that is heavier than usual. I'm trying to remember who said that. And if you're tired, go take a nap. I think it's EPMD. I'm not sure. But, you know, if you're tired, just go take a nap. Shoot. Go in your room, close the door, and take a nap. Guess what? It's all going to be there waiting for you when you wake up. It ain't going nowhere. It will not grow legs and walk away, okay? That's not happening. That's not going to happen. You know, and then you might have analysis paralysis, like decision-making burnout. You don't know whose house to go to. You don't know what your premier side dish could be. And again, go take a nap. I have solved so many of my life problems by just taking a damn nap, okay? And then we get to, you know, rest being revolutionary. And that is, you know, you might end up feeling guilty for wanting to take a break or for actually taking one. Guess what? Kick that shit to the curb. That is for the birds. That is not for queens and kings, okay? And if you are even trying to manage holiday season, you are definitely a queen. You are definitely a king. And so you got to make sure that you manage it, because if you don't, then that resentment will sneak up in the middle of your to-do list. Well, damn it, I got to do this for Brenda, and I don't even like her ass no kind of way. Shit. You know? But maybe if you took a break, and if you delegated a little bit more, and practice saying fucking no sometimes. No, I'm not making my signature dish this year. You know, some people be making tamales. I love tamales. Oh, my gosh. But I've never made them. If you listened to the podcast from the last episode, I don't cook. But I've heard they're a lot of work. If you be making them tamales, sit your ass down and let somebody else do that shit. This might not be the year for you to make the tamales. And I know yours are the best. Trust me. I know yours tastes way better than everybody else's. But guess what? You got to think about you as well, right? You know, there's an emotional labor that ends up working its way into this thing here. In many Black families, and frankly, in every culture, I know in Latino cultures, as I was just talking about tamales, you know, the women carry the bulk of the holiday prep. They're cooking, they're cleaning, they're gift organizing, they're buying the damn gifts. Shit. Half the time... Let's not fuck around with this. Half the time they're financing it as well. Okay? They're coordinating the travel. They're soothing emotionally and keeping the fucking peace. You know, so they don't even get to enjoy the holidays. It's feeling like more of a job than an enjoyment. So, you know, try to make sure that there's balance. And if others aren't giving it to you, make sure that you give it to yourself. You demand it. You know, a lot of memories might come up too, because some of these women cooked with their mothers or their sisters. And those were the warm times of bonding, like gossiping over the greens, right? You know, and then other people cooked alone. They were the only one cooking. And it was pressure to make it magical for everyone else. And they sat down exhausted at the end of Christmas. So sometimes there's trigger points from all that. You might smell a dish, or your elder, your child might smell a dish that somebody used to make. Like maybe you nailed it and cooked it real good this year. And it might bring up joy. Or like I said, it might be that gearing up again, that grief that gets triggered, you know. And then sibling rivalry is funny as hell. You know, sometimes you see that sibling that never helped the whole time y'all was growing up and doing Christmas, and they still never helping, and it might bring up some resentments, right? You know, and then for the men, they might feel like, you know, they grew up with fathers that didn't really contribute on Christmas, and then they overstressed themselves with buying gifts. They put it all on credit, as we call it. They put it on a credit card, you know? You know, so the holidays might be a reminder of what they couldn't do, you know. So, or you might have a funny story like that one time daddy got his bonus and then he bought everybody exactly what they wanted. Don't you remember Jaheim? You know, like daddy got us some bikes and some video games and coats, everything, the stuff we wanted and the stuff we didn't want. So, you know, in order to manage all of this with you, the meat in the middle of this sandwich here, you know, one of my favorite tools, especially in overwhelming times like this is something that I call the 10-second return. Because, you know, your spirit be out there. Your spirit be out there in them holiday streets, not supporting you in no kind of way at all. So, you know, whenever you feel pulled apart, just take 10 seconds and consciously return to your body. You know, in through the nose, out through the mouth. You know, and when you inhale, feel your rib cage actually expand. We don't be breathing the right way. When you breathe that breath inside your nose, make sure it's diaphragmatic and your rib cage is expanding. You know, and then return to your intention. Think about one thing that matters to you up in these holiday streets. What is the one thing that matters? Is it family? Is it building memories? Is it legacy? Is it tradition? You know, what is it? Just think of one word. Narrow it down to one word. And if you like me, that's hard. You're going to be something like holiday time. Nah, sucker. I said one word. One word. You know, and then move back to your lane. Get in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, damn it. You ain't got to solve everything all at once. And you sure as hell don't have to carry anything that's not yours. It's really surprising how much clarity one single intentional breath can give you when everybody else is tugging on your energy. So you might want to think about a few boundaries as well. Like, you know, because you deserve to have your peace protected. You know, maybe you max yourself out at two events during the holidays. You don't have to attend every gathering. Pick two that make you feel joyful. Search for joy. You know, two that are meaningful in some way to you. Sentimental, even if it causes you to activate your grieving process. Because we forget that grieving is a process. And we are so wonderful at distractingly pushing it down, right? Yeah, I made that shit up. I made up a word. Being distracted and pushing down the grieving process, right? Okay, everything else is optional. If somebody get their feelings hurt, they ain't got nothing to do with you, okay? They entitled to use their free will that way if they want to get their feelings hurt. But you only go into two. You might have to set that boundary with yourself. You got to remember, you set boundaries with yourself first. And then you teach yourself that you are trustworthy by honoring those boundaries. You know, and maybe you think about budget before emotion. Maybe that's something that you think about. Maybe you say something like BBE. Not BBD. Not Belle Biv DeVoe. But budget before emotion, and you plan it out. You decide your money limits before you walk into that store with your jolly holiday spirit, right? Because your emotion is going to try to talk you into buying what your bank account just isn't currently aligned with. And maybe think about just one moment of stillness. I've been practicing this thing where I just try to see how long in my mind I can think nothing. You know, the wisdom of emptiness, right? The nothingness. You know, just get you a quiet cup of tea. Go for a walk. You know, make sure that you journal. You know, so as the glue of this sandwich, you really have to, you know, be emotionally honest. Even when you feel the pressure to stay strong. And you got to remember, you are not a holiday miracle worker, right? You're just a human being doing your best within real limits and real needs. So coming up next, we're going to be taking this conversation to the bottom bun, which is our elders, the foundation that holds this slippery sandwich all together. Because during the holidays, caring for them, that has its own rhythm, doesn't it? Its own challenges, but it also has its own beauty. If we choose to see it. So stay with me. Segment 3 is on the way.
like I'm losing my mind. Is everybody in the world blind? Please, Lord, give me a sign. A sign.
Yep, yo, what? My name is Mitch. So, what? I'm a rapper. I am. Come on, come on, come on. I can be a rapper, can't I? Anyways, my name is Mitch. Welcome back to The Sandwich Generation. Again, DASANDWICHGENRATION. If you're just joining us, we talked about the kids in segment one and how they reinterpret and recreate new holiday traditions. Then in segment two, we explored giving and receiving as a middle generation challenge, you know, kind of honoring our own needs while supporting everybody else's. And now we talking about that slippery slope, which is the bottom bun. You got to pick it up to pick the sandwich up, right? So for the elders, the holidays can really be layered with memory, emotion, and sometimes a load of loneliness. You know, a lot of them are in nursing homes or other types of facilities, and it might feel surreal. It might feel like they're in a place that they can't even relate to being in, especially if they're dealing with cognitive decline or dementia. So for elders that are nearing the end of their lives, the holidays can really feel bittersweet. So some of them feel the same pressures as the parents, you know, as you might feel for your own kids. They have a desire to give the gifts, but they have limited resources to do so. And that's where they end up feeling like your kids, right? They might not have access to the credit cards anymore. Maybe you have power of attorney and have kind of taken that over for them, and they don't have the freedom. They don't have the mobility. They can't get up and get you a gift like they used to. And so a lot of times the holidays can stir up memories, but they're joyful and painful. And then, of course, if they're nearing the end of their lives, the holidays can definitely feel extremely bittersweet. So like that song used to go, joy and pain, right? So when I think about my dad's story, right, he spent a lot of his childhood in an orphanage. And one Christmas, a Catholic priest came and he gave gifts to kids who followed Catholicism, or at least I guess they thought they did. I don't know how that worked, because if they were in an orphanage, I don't know how they knew what the children's beliefs were. But I'm just telling you the story my daddy told me, okay? So my dad didn't follow Catholicism, and he was overlooked. He didn't get any presents for that 2 or 3 years, and it hurt him deeply. It really left a scar on his emotional soul, you know, so it shaped who he became. He dedicated himself to generosity, and he made sure that no child ever felt forgotten in his presence. You know, but what happened when he got towards the end of his life? He can't even, you know, rely on his own generosity, because his mobility is now not what it used to be. He doesn't have transportation. He doesn't have financial resources at his disposal. And that's painful for them when that happens. So the elders, they carry these stories, you know, and some of them are internal, and they might bark at you, right? They might scowl, you know, and you might wonder, what is the meaning of that furrowed brow that I'm seeing? But there's wins and there's losses, overlooked moments. Like, they might feel like they did all this for you or for the grandkids or for the great grandkids, and they didn't even say thank you. You know, they're holding on to things and you don't even know. But maybe it might be best to think about, you know, the tradition of wisdom, right? Passing on that wisdom can be a gift in itself. And then make it fun. Like, what is that company? Shutterfly. Like, make them a book. Make them a picture book. You know, spend Christmas Day making the book together so that if, you know, God and the gods are pleased next year, You can look at the book that you made this year. You know, have them publish their story on, you know, a direct publishing, you know, format or medium platform. You know, that is a gift that just keeps on giving if you get your elder published. So, but the fact of the matter is that even later in life, elders want to give and receive meaningfully. So when they pass down these recipes and stories and crafts and their wisdom, make a big deal out of it. You know, have somebody professionally record it, videotape it, you know, get it put into a book, you know, find some kind of way to maybe put something, a story on a canvas somehow and hang it up in the house. Make their wisdom the gift. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, right? Now, of course, the receiving part can be a little challenging for them, you know, because of the pride issue and the independence that's standing in their way. We are told to be cheerful givers. Usually religiously we get that lesson. But we don't know how to be cheerful receivers, especially if we're not able to give what we wanted to give. So sometimes the reciprocation has to be in the thank you. And remember, I said this in segment one as well. Wrap your thank you up with a bow. Make it beautiful. You know, they don't feel comfortable in the fact. Put yourself in their situation. You need help with transportation. You need help with a grocery run. You feel like you have to beg people to spend time with you during the holiday, right? It's not easy. So encourage them to receive help with dignity. And this might be something that you brainstorm with your children. You know, how can we turn a thank you into a gift in and of itself? You know, how can we, amongst the family, receive help with dignity and accept it as an act of love? You know, how can this be something that we do for the whole family? And so, you know, like I said, a lot of women, you know, the elders, and the middle generation as well, it's a lot of heavy responsibilities. There's cooking, cleaning, organizing. You got to get the logistics together. And you know, you ain't even got your own self together. You know, you might need to know what's happening with your hair and your makeup. If you're hosting, you got to put on the happy host face, right? And then there's the situation when, you know, the elder is in hospice, which might be your situation. You know, I would just like to suggest that if that's the case, that you find a way to laugh. Lean into the laughter, you know, not just for their sake, but for your sake as well. You know, don't try not to do the gear up thing. Don't gear up for, well, next year they're not even going to be with us. No. Let's bring it all back to the present moment. Let's really feel our way into the recipes, the rituals, the smells, you know, in ways that don't pre-trigger the grief. You know, but then like I said, for some of us, it just naturally does because we lost the elder last year or the year before. And then there's a situation where you might have, you know, one parent or one elder that, you know, is remaining and their partner, their spouse has already passed away. It's a lot to think about. But if your elder is a woman, you know, and there's dementia, there's anger, extra honoriness, it might be that residual energy of trying to keep up the perfect holiday lie, right? And of course, social media in our generation makes it worse. you know, we feel this pressure to make a Pinterest holiday, you know, when in real life, the table, the tablecloth ain't matching the centerpiece, and somebody done burnt up the rolls, and the kids is tracking dirt all in the house when you told them to stay outside. And somebody opened their gift up early, and, you know, and for the men who are elders specifically, sometimes it's hard to get them to be emotionally open during the holidays. There's something going on, but they can't really, and sometimes they don't even know and can't put their own finger on it. So, you know, as elders, they reflect on these experiences, and when they feel bittersweet, they're watching the new generations, you know, thrive. And instead of seeing themselves perpetuate and, you know, seeing their future generations, instead, they're navigating their emotions about giving and receiving and what even, a holiday tradition means. They're navigating all of that. So the holidays can definitely be like time machines, right? Yeah, you might get caught the wrong way by a smell. A song might come on, you know, that really, you just wasn't even expecting it to just leave you in a lump on the floor crying, you know. And then a certain dish that everybody in a family knows how to make the exact same way, it can transport anybody back to childhood. And that can be wonderful, but the reminiscing can hurt. Or for some of us, it could be horrible. It could be a traumatic place to be. Maybe you're trying to create some new memories with your own family. So not every memory is joyful. Some of them are tinged with absence and inequality, you know, unmet expectations. But here's the magic to the sandwich, right? Let all the layers interact, right? Let the kids bring the spontaneity, the curiosity, the doe-eyed wonder, right? That creative spark. Let them make some new traditions. Give them that charge. Give them that challenge. Us in the middle, the grown-ups, you know, let us find some creative ways of making and keeping boundaries. Let us learn some beautiful ways of mediating that inspire the younger generations and make the older generations want to commit, right? As we manage the logistics, let's get some pretty journals and books and binders, right? Make it be fun. Make it make sense and make it be fun, right? And then with the elders, lean into that history, that culture, wisdom, you know, and that will help you to balance the emotional weight of the generations past. Then when all these layers communicate, the kids be asking the questions, the adults model the boundaries and the self-care, and the elders share those magical stories, good or bad, those lessons in life and lessons in love, and they model how to accept help. Well, don't you just think the whole family experience becomes richer as a result? So these traditions, they can evolve. They don't have to be set in stone. Giving can be meaningful, and receiving, that can be graceful. So I want to hear your holiday stories across the generations, right? How do your elders give? How do your kids give? How do they receive? Have your holidays been joyful or challenging or stressful, bittersweet? Holidays can be chaotic, overwhelming, and triggering, but they can also be tender, joyful, and connective. So this here sandwich generation is gobbled up. And just remember to embrace tradition, whatever that is for you. Honor both the giving and receiving of it. Bridge together the past, present, and future, and create a holiday that isn't perfect, but is perfectly yours, perfectly ours. I just want to thank you for sharing this space with me. This is the Sandwich Generation, and I'm Mitch, wishing you a season filled with meaning, connection, and joy. I'm out.